Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Top 5, the Patreon-only podcast where I, Josh Earle, sit down with a good friend and we discuss the top 5 of a topic of our choosing. Today it's my good buddy, it's Daniel Connell, everyone. Yay.
Hey, mate. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this. Now, for those who have been on Twitter, the last 2 weeks, really, I've been going crazy about doing bracket tournaments and talking about... I started off doing American bands in the 90s and now I've gone to Aussie bands who were played on Triple J in the 90s. Mm. And you've been following, Daniel.
Mate, I've loved it. I loved it. I think that was when I was most... I still love music now, new bands and things, but I think 90s was when I was most influenced. And when I saw all your charts, it just brought back so many good memories.
I know. It was fun. I was compiling it and I don't know if you know Levins, who Sydney podcaster, DJ. Kids book writer. He was like, really into the American one. He said, "What are you doing next?" I said, "Oh, Aussie 90s. He goes, "Let me see. I want to know." And he was like, "You've got to put Scream Feeder in there," because I didn't have them. I had them on my like, you know, in the list, but didn't make the 32. He goes, "You've got to have them. You've got to have them in there." And I'm like, "All right, fair enough." And then they absolutely got wiped the floor with. He was like, "I'm so glad." I said, "I think they're up against Powderfinger to start with, so they had no chance."
I saw some of the matchups were David and Goliath.
Yeah,
top, yeah. And but then that's it. That's a tournament. That's how you've got to come up against the top seeds.
That's exactly what I've been trying to explain to people who obviously like music but don't like sport. Like people going, "How come you put this band against this band? Like they're not even the same kind of bands. You should have put this band." And I'm like, "That's not how tournaments work. You don't go, 'Hey, I'm a left-handed tennis player. Can I not play against Federer? Because he plays it very well. Like I'd rather." But what we're doing today, we're talking top Australian albums.
You asked me to do this yesterday and I just said to you off, this is... I'm in lockdown. This has made me so excited.
Because you are a big Aussie music fan. I've worked with you at the project for a few years, and I know that you have some strong feelings towards Aussie music.
Yeah. I think it's... I'm sure most Australians that like Aussie music think it's underrated, and especially that stuff from the 90s. I just think we were making such good music then, and it's still good now. But I just think there was a real hot spot there in the 90s. Yeah.
Because I always think isolation's pretty good for art. Although having lived in my house for the last 18 months, not really being able to go out, I'm like, "Oh, maybe getting out and seeing other stuff could be good." Hey, so what I'm doing, so you're doing top 5 Australian albums. Now, I'm doing mine a different way because I think most people would know who listened to this in the past. All right, the bands, I've talked about the bands I like enough. We can't just have, okay, it's going to be the Go-Betweens, UMI, the Triffids and all that kind of stuff. So I'm doing mine. So I've realized I'm in my fifth decade on this planet. So I'm going through decade by decade. So from 0 to 9, what my favorite album or most influential album of then.
That's
and then
great.
We'll go through it. So I'll start it off. So little old me in 1986, living in the old house on Wembley Street, not Greenacre Street where I lived all my life in Burnie. But I had it was like a little tape player thing that had the speaker just on it.
Yeah.
Like it was, I think you could carry, had a little handle on it. Like it wasn't a boom box, but it was like one, and you could also record your voice on it as well. It was in my room. I don't know. And I had one tape in there and it was on one side, it was the best of ABBA. And on the other, it was Whispering Jack by John Farnham. So I'm going to have Whispering Jack by John Farnham. And I used to break dance to it. What? And I don't know. Yeah, I know. But I was like, I obviously saw breakdancing somewhere and was like, "That's cool. I'm going to breakdance." And so the only songs I had at my disposal was ABBA and John Farnham or my dad's John Cougar Mellencamp collection because he liked that. So I would take the tapes and I'd do some breakdancing to take the pressure down.
And was You're the voice on Whispering.
Yeah. So it was had some massive hits. Like I listened to it today, like just skipping through it to go, yeah, this is the one.
Yeah.
It's such a good album. Like, and it's one of those things, like John Farnham, when I was a kid, was so famous.
Yeah.
Like he was
on like, everything.
Yeah. On everything. Like whenever there was an opening of anything, he was the one who would go and do a song. Yeah. And I think also Hey Hey It's Saturday was so like played such a major role in my life.
Yeah.
And I know it's been cancelled. I know it was horrible, but I was also 7 years old living in Burnie. I wasn't going to be judging it. I'm going, oh, there's not enough of – anyway, so I remember he was on it all the time. He was always very funny on there, and I like that. And, like, yeah. And I also think he's had a bit of a bad, like, bad press with – he did his goodbye show, and then he's come back one more time, and everyone's like, "Oh, you're coming back all the time, like John Farnham." I was like, he only did it once, and I think look, this is just rumor, but I think he got sick, and that's why he was stopping any live touring. Right. But he didn't want to come out and say that he was sick, because around that time, he put on a fair bit of weight and was always wearing like jackets all the time. Mm-hmm. Like used to went from wearing shirts to like wearing suit jackets. And like, I think the rumor, and I'm be talking out of school. I think the rumor was he had problem with I think he was wearing a colostomy bag for those years.
He came out for that the Fire concert and everything, and he was great. But I just would love to picture you break dancing to the bagpipe section of You're the Voice. You should practice it and put that in a festival show in future years.
Because on the other side it was ABBA, and I remember I didn't like much of ABBA, but I did like the song Take a Chance. Take a Chance. I like that. Yeah. All right. So that's my number five album of my most influential, my favorite Australian albums.
Great. Great. Do you want me to start my five?
Your five.
So can I do just quickly, I just wanted to say two notable mentions because I couldn't.
All right.
It was so hard to do this list. And this is one of your favorites, but Sound As Ever, 1994, UMI. It was a bit before my music buying time. I was 11 at the time. I didn't buy my first album until I was about 14 when I got my first job.
Yeah.
So a lot of my music up until that point was just sister's music, a lot of rock set, parents' music, Fleetwood Mac. But yeah, that album, I've listened to it so much in the last probably five years.
It's so great. The song Ordinary is one of those songs, which is such a great song, but people, if they don't really know UMI, would never have heard of it. And it's such I love it.
Yeah, it's one, start to finish bangers.
Yeah.
I've used Berlin Chair in my house music at comedy festivals for many years. And Cold Chisel, this is obviously definitely before my time, but East, 1980. I just grew up listening to that a lot.
So, I don't know anything about Cold Chisel. Have you done the podcast, the Saturday Paper quiz?
No.
This guy, Johnny Leary, really good guy, and it's a really good podcast. But he, the first question was about Cold Chisel, and me and Lomas did it together. Mm. And he goes, oh, you'll absolutely get this one, Josh. This is right up your alley. And I was like, Cold Chisel were before my time, but not so much before my time that it was like a cool throwback.
Mm.
It was still around like early 80s.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, I think, my dad liked Cold Chisel, but didn't play it in the house ever.
Yeah.
It was one of it's like me and Star Wars. I never watched Star Wars because by the time I was old enough to watch it, it looked old.
Yeah. I've never watched Star Wars either.
Yeah. And I think that's the same with Cold Chisel. By the time I was like, it was like, oh, they're old. That's like dad's music. I don't want to listen to that. Yeah.
I can still listen to East now. There's not many Aussie albums that start like, the opening single is Standing on the Outside Looking In, and it's just a ripper start to an album. It's and it's got like Cheap Wine, Choir Girl, some other bangers on there.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's get to number five. This is a bit of a spin from the two bands I just mentioned. But the criteria I did to make the cut, because it was so hard to, I wrote down like 20 albums. And so the criteria I did was that it's an album that I just listened to non-stop for like a whole summer or a year, and it just reminds me of really good times. Like, it just you know, those nostalgic albums that when you put them on, it reminds you of where you were when you bought it or whatever.
Absolutely.
So that's what made my top five happen. So my fifth album is Josh Pyke, Memories and Dust. So this is just 2007, his debut album, I was getting into that indie. And what set it off, I saw him live at the UC in Canberra, went with a few mates, and it was, he's just fantastic. And I don't know, I just find it so easy to listen to, and I still listen to it a lot now.
Yeah.
But yeah, just the whole album's great.
Is this the one that had, what's the song, in the middle of the...
Yeah, middle, of the,
middle
hill,
of the hill. Yeah. So my memory of that is the Bedroom Philosopher, my friend Justin Hazelwood, played Falls Festival one year, and I was on with him. And he had this song which he would do all the songs in the Hardest 100, just do a mashup of them all. And I think he got like 50 of the, like, just would do small snippets. And one, that was very impressive just to see it. Like, it wasn't like it was the four chord song where it was like, hey, all these songs sound the same. And you're like, well, you can manipulate that so it just is the same. But he just actually put them all together. And when he did Middle of the Hill, I've never heard a cheer as loud. Like, people were honestly going, this is the best. Like, this. Yeah. And my other Josh Pike story is when my...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
My wife went back to Perth. None of her friends had met me. And she told, oh, he's a comedian and his name's Josh. And in the kind of like ether of like just being whispered around, all her friends thought I was Josh Pike. So they'd be telling people, oh, yeah, it's Josh. Beck's dating Josh Pike. Yeah, she's moved to Melbourne. She's dating Josh Pike.